Good evening, everyone. I'm Lenore Moudou, and welcome to Health Chat. Cancer, it is a diagnosis that no one wants to hear. Cancer is the name given to a collection of related diseases. In all types of cancers, some of the body's cells begin to divide without stopping and spread into surrounding tissues. Cancer can start almost anywhere in the human body. Several types of cancers present no symptoms. However, experts say from many types of cancer, there are some early signs that can help patients to know of a possible problem and seek medical care early. And early diagnosis is key. The same is true for many other health conditions. We will discuss this and more on the program today. And joining us via phone from Westboro, Massachusetts, near Boston, is Tricia Larson, Executive Director of 15-40 Connection, a foundation for early cancer detection and education. Tricia, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Also joining us via phone from Waltham, also near Boston, is Brian Regan. He's a testicular cancer survivor and 15-40 ambassador. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you to have me.
It's great to have you. So we'll have our discussion in a moment. But first, 15-40 produced a video to spread its awareness message, a compelling interview with Dina, a young woman who faced a grim cancer prognosis. Let's listen to an excerpt.
I was at work and my desk at work was a little low. And I got into the habit of, you know, when you sit back at your desk, you would kind of like put your knee up and your knee hits the desk. And I started to feel a bruise. So I just automatically assumed, oh, it's probably because I'm leaning against my desk so often. And the bruise never went away and I never saw a bruise. Afterwards, I started getting these shooting pains going down my leg. And as the day went on, it got worse to the point where I couldn't even really weight bear. So I went to this walk-in clinic and the doctor hardly examined me. Just watched me walk up and down the hall and said, you have a shin splint. And I didn't even know what a shin splint was, but I thought, oh, okay, you know, because I trusted the doctor. He gave me a prescription for Vicodin, told me to ice it, sent me on my way. And I remember leaving thinking to myself, he didn't even order an x-ray. How does he know, like, there's no fracture? And in my mind, I thought, well, I don't care what it is as long as the pain goes away, which eventually it did. And then in July, my knee just blew up. I had to take the shoes off, and I blamed the shoes. So I went to an orthopedic doctor, and he did an x-ray right there in the office. He saw a shadow, set me for an MRI just to get a clearer picture, and that's when they discovered the tumor. It's a blip in your day. It's 1 or 2 hours out of your day. If it ends up being nothing, awesome, celebrate. If it ends up being something, celebrate that too, because then you just caught something, hopefully early on, and you could get it taken care of.
And again, Tricia and Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Let me start with you, Tricia. We heard this audio of patient Diane, Dina, who was sharing her story. First of all, I have to mention that Dina passed away.
She did, yeah.
Unfortunately.
First week in August, unfortunately, yes. Mm.
Tell us a little more about her story. I mean, just hearing what she had to share was really, really compelling. Can you tell us a little more?
Sure. So Dina was like most people in that she didn't know what a cancer symptom could look or feel like, and I'd say that most people don't. She also had a great deal of trust in the physician that saw her at the walk-in medical clinic that day, that he would have her best interests in heart. And she didn't understand how important it was to really trust her own instincts about what she knew about her own health. Mm. And instead, she trusted the doctor, and it turned out that she was misdiagnosed with shin splints when she actually had cancer.
And what type of cancer did she have?
She had, it's a bone cancer. She had an osteosarcoma.
Okay.
So it was a tumor within her bone that was causing the swelling and the pain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So unfortunately, so what happened is that delay between the time that she went to the walk-in medical clinic and actually really when she first started feeling symptoms and she didn't know what to make of them,
mm-hmm.
all the way to the time when she was diagnosed with the cancer, it allowed the cancer to progress unchecked, right?
Oh.
And it allowed it at some point to spread to different parts of her body. And then at that point, cancer is much more difficult to treat. When you find it early, your chance of survival increases significantly.
Yes.
So no fault to Dina,
yes.
but that's really what happened to her.
Wow, that's incredible. And Brian,
yeah.
You are a cancer survivor, and you know this is really great news because you are here to tell your story and also to be an ambassador for 1540. Now, tell us your experience. We heard Dina's story where she was misdiagnosed at first, and she had an instinct about the fact that she wasn't sure, but she trusted the doctor. What was your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And first of all, this is actually the first time I'm learning that Dina actually passed away. So I just want to send my best to her family and anyone who's listening. Please, you know, do the best you can to learn from her story. I was 18 when I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And ironically, I was listening to a radio show one day. And it's an uncensored medical radio show on Sirius XM Radio. And the doctor on the show mentioned testicular exams in young men. And, you know, I thought it was kind of a joke. I was like, that's pretty funny. I ended up doing an exam that day, and I actually felt a tumor. And, you know, that my whole world kind of came crashing down in that 1 minute. I ended up going to the doctors a few days after that. Without telling anyone in my family, I kind of made an appointment on my own. I showed up and, you know, told the doctor what was going on. The doctor did a physical exam and, you know, after that said, you know, I don't feel anything. I think you're fine. Like, you're good to go home. And, you know, after a little bit of a heated conversation with that doctor, I was able to talk them into giving me a test, ultrasound on the area. And it actually discovered that same day that I had a tumor. And inevitably I had surgery and treatment following that. And, you know, long story short, cancer was very fast moving, and if I had waited even, you know, 3 or 6 more months, you know, my entire life could be drastically changed.
That's incredible. And the fact that you had to literally fight, if I can use that word, with the doctor to get more tests, it's just incredible.
Yeah, it's scary, right? We like to think that doctors are perfect. But at the same time, and I think 1540 does a great job advocating for this, but I mean, you and your doctor should have a relationship. You know, it's mm-hmm. not a they're perfect and they're going to take care of everything. If you think there's something wrong that you want to address, you know, you got to be you're the best advocate for yourself. I don't care what it's about. It could be about your health, it could be your career. You're the one who's going to push hardest for you. I was really lucky that I'm, for lack of a better term, a little stubborn sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was able to really push back on that.
Wow. Tricia, what does this tell us in terms of the way we exchange and we really trust our doctors? And where does the patient become empowered to really step up and challenge the doctor, so to speak, just like Brian did?
Right. So one thing you have to understand is doctors today have a lot of time constraints on them, right? So when they come in to meet you, they're going to think about what are the most likely things that could be wrong, right? Because they have to move through a lot of patients in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But what you as a patient need to do is remember that healthcare requires a team, and you're part of that team as a patient.
Okay.
So we'll often say, you know, on your team, you need your doctor and the medical expertise that he or she brings. But what your doctor needs is information about you and how your health has changed, even in subtle ways, over the past couple weeks or past couple months. Together, if you're both talking and working together, you're going to get the best care.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't share what's truly going on with you, and I know sometimes it's hard, it's embarrassing, it's stuff you don't want to talk about, but if you don't share, or if your doctor isn't really listening, then the only one that pays the price for that is you as the patient.
Yes.
So as a patient, you have to think of the doctor as providing you with a service, and you have to work with him or her. And
so,
do it together.
So does this mean that patients always have to get a second opinion, even when the first doctor tells you you have nothing wrong, which is the what really many people want to hear, that there is nothing wrong with you? But at what point do you go ahead and seek a second opinion?
Yeah, so that's a great question. You know, sometimes your doctor is going to say, and we have a recent case, you're fine, and maybe you're not. And if he or she says you're fine and you don't believe that you are, then share that, right? That's where the conversation starts and see where it goes. Or you can ask a question like, okay, if I'm fine, if this symptom that I'm feeling right now doesn't go away, after how much time should I call you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
And then if you're still not getting the attention or you don't think your doctor's taking you seriously, then it probably is time for a second opinion, but your doctor's not always going to be able to diagnose after one visit. Sometimes it does take a few.
Okay.
But you as the patient have to keep following up, and that becomes your job. Think of yourself, you know, I could use a football analogy or American football analogy. You're the quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of in charge of what happens next to some degree.
Okay. And, Brian, you were in charge from the very beginning. I mean, given... given how you pushed to get your diagnosis. So tell me, how long did it take, this journey took from being diagnosed to going through treatment and feel, now you're good and everything. But how long was this journey? Because a lot of time people are concerned about, if I find something, it's going to take a toll on my work, on my family, on my capacity to function. So tell us about your experience.
Yeah, definitely. And the number one thing I'll say there is the sooner the better. Waiting on these things, whether it's a sprained ankle or a cancer diagnosis, is just going to prolong things and make it worse in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to go from noticing I had a tumor to being completely cancer-free in, I think, a matter of 3 months. I was 18 years old, just finished my freshman year of college, and I moved back to school without missing a day. You know, I noticed I had a tumor, went to the doctor 2 days later, had surgery 5 days after that, and I started chemo 7 days after that. And I had 13 rounds of chemo treatment all in 5 days. And, you know, it was definitely a recovery process after that. But, you know, if I had waited even 3 months, my doctors were saying I would have to do that entire process 3 times.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, just thinking about how much that would have changed my life, I would have had to do another year of college and, you know, all those things. So it's definitely the sooner the better.
And how long ago was all of this?
So I just turned 23, so
okay.
I actually got some tests back a couple weeks ago. So in this September, I will be celebrating 4 years cancer-free.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. So
thank you.
Tell us what you are doing now to different, what are you doing differently? What have you learned from this experience?
Definitely taking not only my physical health, but my mental health very seriously. After I was diagnosed with cancer, I had a lot of issues with anxiety, you know, all those things. And I really learned to, you know, learn to take a deep breath. I still see a psychologist on a regular basis, just help me, you know, enjoy my life.
Mm-hmm.
I continue to be regular going to my doctor's appointments. And, I mean, my doctors will be the first ones to tell you I show up with a list and I'm crossing things off as we go. And,
that's a smart move.
Yeah. And,
yes.
You know, maybe, you know, it's unfortunate that I had to go through what I had to go through in order to be this smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is why I do things like this and talk to awesome people like you who have great programs, because I really hope that people can learn from my experience.
It's definitely people like you, that are not shy to come forward and speak, or not afraid to speak. It's really helpful, and we have the platform. We are able to provide a platform mm-hmm. because everyone is concerned. Everyone is at risk. So, Tricia, back to you with regards to the organization. You know, one of the missions is that you work to drive a new cancer conversation to teach people how to detect the disease early and improve survival rates. So Brian is an example as to the type of conversation that we will be having with survivors and encouraging others to move forward and take care of their health. Tell us about what comes into the conversation. What are you sharing with people?
Yeah, it's really about talking about the process that leads to diagnosis and the fact that there are symptoms of cancer mm-hmm. and how to work with medical professionals. So cancer is a scary word, right?
Yes.
When you say cancer, people think death,
yes.
right? But the absolute best medicine for cancer is early detection. And without the patient playing a role, a lot of people can't benefit from that message. So we have a process, we call it Three Steps Detect, where we use it to guide people through this, and it helps not only for detecting cancer early, mm-hmm. but other diseases and ailments as well.
Okay.
And you want me to walk through the three steps?
Or? Yes, absolutely. We're going to take a short break because this is we really want to hear this. And so we're going to take a short break and take a little breather and come back and really delve into the three steps so that we can better understand how to take care of ourselves. Okay. So we will be right back. We'll have more on this very important conversation. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, let's be upfront.
There's a lot to talk about.
We need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
Upfront is a show where we look at issues that affect Africa's youth,
giving you an opportunity to express yourself as you connect with other youth around the continent.
In this interconnected world, we share a destiny. So let us share our solutions to issues like unemployment,
education reform,
elections,
free speech,
and many others.
Nothing is off the table.
Nothing is off the table.
Absolutely nothing is off the table.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 1730 UTC, Saturday at 1900 UTC,
and Sunday at 1930 UTC,
right here on VOA Africa.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight we are discussing ways to be smart about early detection with cancer in terms of you being responsible for your health and being part of the solution, listening to your body and talking to your doctor the right way so that the diagnosis can be done early if there is cancer. Of course, we don't hope that there is cancer, but it's better if there is a problem that it's detected early. So this is a conversation today, how to listen to our bodies and what to tell the doctors so that if there is something, early diagnosis and treatment can occur. Now, joining us via phone to do that from outside Massachusetts is Tricia Larson. She's executive director of 1540 Connection. And also joining us from outside Massachusetts is Brian Regan, who is a testicular cancer survivor and 1540 ambassador. Again, thanks to the both of you for joining us. Now, before the break, Tricia, we were talking about some steps that 1540 were recommending. And walk us through that. You talked about three steps. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. So we call it Three Steps Detect, and it's really the path to early detection. And the first step is really pretty simple, and it provides you with a very valuable tool, and that's remember what your great feels like, or think of it as make a note of what your normal health is. So think about things like, what's your normal energy like? What are your sleep patterns? Do you sleep through the night, or do you get up a couple times during the night? What's your weight like? What does your skin look like? What are your bathroom habits? That sort of stuff. And on your best days, or on your very good days, how do you feel? And make a strong mental note, or put notes in, you know, your phone or a notebook so that, you know, if something should change, you don't question or you don't say, oh, maybe I always felt like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then the second step is if you have a health change, and it can be subtle, so say your energy level changes and you're somebody that typically works a 12-hour day, and now at the end of, say, 7 or 8 hours, you're exhausted, right? If that sort of change goes on for 2 weeks, that's the time where you need to make a decision to go see a doctor. 2 weeks is long enough to wait. If it's a virus or something not too serious, it usually resolves on its own within 2 weeks. So we call that the 2-week rule.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
And that's very, yeah, hold on to that. The 2-week rule is very important. And the third one is very easy to describe, but it's really hard for people to do, but it's also very important, and that is share with your doctor. So it's a lot about what Brian described. You know your body best. You know your body better than the doctor, and I know the doctor has all kinds of medical expertise, which, again, is valuable, but nobody knows you as well as you do. So, you know, if your health has changed, and like I said, subtle ways are important too, if it persists, it's up to you to share that with your doctor so that you're now providing your doctors with clues about what's going on. So think of your doctor as a detective, and you as the patient need to give the detective the clues. That's your job. So all of those things, those three steps, help you get to a diagnosis with your doctor sooner.
Sometimes people are even embarrassed to talk about some health issues,
sure.
You know. And Brian mentioned earlier, and that was a good point when he said, you know, you're a teenager, you hear testicular cancer, and he said, oh, he thought it was funny, you see. But there are some health conditions that people think, oh, I can't talk about this, you know, it's embarrassing. So,
yeah.
Brian, how did you go from it's funny or perhaps it could be embarrassing to really becoming a spokesperson?
You know, it's not really easy to describe. I mean, I remember as far back as being in high school and having teachers, like, talk about it during health week or whatever and still thinking it was funny. But, you know, the minute I realized that something was wrong, like I said, the best way to describe it for me is my entire world came crashing down around me and my mind started going to, oh no, this is real.
Yeah.
And I think we've all experienced those moments at some point in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just count my blessings every day that how lucky I was to have one of those moments and to, you know, notice my symptom.
Yes.
Because that's the only reason I changed my mindset, is because it was right there in front of me.
Yeah. Now, Tricia, there are some cancers that do not present signs, right? They don't have any symptoms, perhaps at least in the beginning. They don't present any symptoms. So what would be your advice in a case like this where people have some cancers that may develop cancers that have no symptom in the beginning? How do you know to look for something in a specific area if you don't have any pain or any signs?
Yeah, that's a tough one, but typically, most cancer, most of our advocates will tell us that they had symptoms, they just didn't know what they meant. So,
okay.
You know, it's really paying attention to those subtle and persistent symptoms. So things like change in your energy level is important if it continues for 2 weeks or longer, or a pain that you can't explain, or if your bowel habits change or things look different. Those things are things right now that we kind of notice but don't pay any attention to. We've been trained really not to ignore it.
Mm.
So I think most symptoms at some point, some cancers reveal themselves earlier than others, will give you those sort of signs, so the sooner you act on them, the better.
It's even incredible that something as simple as a sleep pattern can be an indication of a problem.
Yeah, we often hear from, especially blood cancer, patients that some of their early symptoms are waking up a lot in the middle of the night, and they might have night sweats and fatigue that happens. And at the time, they usually can blame something else, whether it's working too hard or a virus or something. They'll come, you know, you normalize things. I think as humans, that's what we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what we're saying is, you know, if that stuff goes on for a couple of weeks, you need to pay attention and you need to get medical advice.
How early or how soon is good enough to talk to a child about starting to listen to their bodies? Babies, obviously, when something is wrong, they cry. They cannot explain it. But with the cry, you can look for something. But at a certain age, after 4 or 5, the boy can tell you, I have a headache, a toothache. But at what age do you start talking to a child about listening to their body and paying attention, especially when it comes to cancer, because we have this idea that cancer is an adult problem?
Right. Right. I often advise people that, see, babies do a great job of it, right?
Yeah.
If something's wrong, they cry right away because they're really tuned into their bodies, right?
Yes.
But at some point, we unlearn that or we get too busy to pay attention to some of these things.
Yes.
So, you know, with my kids, I've coached them to tell me if something doesn't feel well. And I'll say, okay, if this doesn't feel better in a week or in 2 weeks, tell me again, right?
Okay.
And this way, you don't make them afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But they're at least tuned into the fact that their normal health is changing. And then I'll also, you know, talking, as you had said, talking to a doctor is hard often, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with a child, maybe there's a question that they have for their teacher. Maybe they didn't like a grade they got on some work that they did. Let your child approach the teacher first, because that's talking to an authority figure.
Yes.
And that builds confidence for those situations, too. So you can use it in different environments to kind of empower the children to use their voice and to kind of stick up and trust their instincts.
Okay. So. Tell us about some of the programs through the organization that you are implementing.
Some of the programs?
Yeah, some of your work in the community or wherever you work.
Sure. Yeah, what we do is we go out and we teach groups and organizations how to detect cancer early, and we do that through webinars. We go out and we train wellness people and sometimes human resource people and health teachers in schools how to teach their students and colleagues how to detect cancer early. We also do some in-person education locally. We'll go out and we'll bring, you know, people like Brian will volunteer their time and come and talk to an assembly of people to learn how to detect cancer early. And then we have a robust social media program going on where a lot of people learn how to do this just through what we post via, you know, Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. So it's really all about external outreach and teaching people how to do this.
And, Brian, what do you do on a daily basis or perhaps weekly or monthly basis to reach out to others through the organization and even personally?
Yeah, I mean, I just do what I can. I tell my story, and I think there's, you know, I don't often think I'm a role model for people, if I'm being perfectly honest, but I think my story, there's a lot that people can learn from it. There's a lot of lessons there, and, you know, I love working the 1540 Connection. They're a great group of people who have a very honest and, you know, important mission. But, you know, in my personal life, too, I talk to people all the time because everyone knows someone who either has been diagnosed or, you know, passed away from cancer. And I feel like talking to people about my story just kind of makes it more real for them and makes them think more. And in all honesty, when something's more real to you, it sometimes becomes a little less scary and something you can wrap your head around. So I think the best I can do is just share my story and hope people can learn whatever they can from it.
That's a good work that you're doing. Sharing your story is a tremendous help. So thank you for what you're doing, and we wish you all the best. And we are very glad to hear that you are out there speaking and, you know, helping others through your story. And before we wrap, Tricia, with all the information that you shared, where can listeners have more?
They can come to our website is the best place. So the website address is 15, -40.org is a great place to start.
Fantastic. Brian Regan and Tricia Larson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And that's all that we have for you today. Thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. I'm your host, Lino Mudu in Washington, with producer Jackson Vongani. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.